around the world of global macro in 21 charts, focusing, of course, on interest rates and Bitcoin. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. In today's global macro update, we are going to go around the entire world of global macro. We'll talk about interest rates, the Fed, gold, oil, the dollar, and of course, Bitcoin and risk markets. With our first chart, we're going to start with US Treasury yields. We'll look at the two-year part of the curve right now. And take a look at this chart. You see the yields breaking down below the trend line that we had in place for a couple years. And as yields have started to break down, we are getting a large cutting cycle priced into the market. Now, has the Fed started cutting rates? No, they will be doing so in 5 days from today. However, yields have collapsed in the two-year part of the curve, way ahead of the cuts. Why does this happen? Because the market is the determinant of where interest rates go. The Fed is simply a lagging indicator. Now, sometimes the Fed can play stubborn, as they have over the last year or so, really since Silicon Valley, but they will eventually have to adhere to the market. And so that's why the cutting cycle will begin next week. We believe that it will get very steep here over the next several months, even though they will try to cut rates by 25 basis points. Now, you see in the financial media a little bit of back and forth between whether it's going to be 25 or 50 next week. We still believe 25, but again, it doesn't really matter because the Fed is showing that it doesn't treat this situation seriously enough to get rates back down to 2%. It is guiding rates lower to be less restrictive, and the Fed thinks that it can engage in this process over the next couple years. We disagree. We think they're going to have to cut rates much more dramatically next year. If you look at the Fed funds rate in black here on the second chart versus twos, and on the bottom pane, you see the difference. The difference is getting larger and larger as we get closer to that first cut. So automatically, the day after the cut, this green line at the bottom, this green difference will shrink by 25 basis points. If they cut by 50, it'll shrink by 50. And eventually, the Fed funds rate will catch back down to the two-year yield. But the two-year yield is the market. So the market will always be ahead. We might see the two-year yield rise before the Fed is done cutting. For example, if the two-year yield gets all the way down to 2% and the Fed is cutting from 2.75 to 2.5, for example, later next year, and then the two-year yield starts to go back up again, it's probably starting to price in the end of the cutting cycle. So I want to remind you guys that the market is in charge here. And what does the falling yield tell us about the market? It tells us that the demand is overwhelming the supply, right? That's what happens when prices go up. Prices go up because demand is overwhelming supply. And when prices go up, yields fall in the treasury sector. So the demand, that's what we're focusing on here. And I am calling you guys out at home, on your couch, on your run, in the gym, wherever you're watching or listening to this, I am calling you guys out right now for potentially underestimating this demand. And I'm putting myself in that category too. But the whole investment universe right now is underappreciating the strength of the demand. The decline in rates has been relentless. And it's not like rates were at 5% and they have to price in a little cutting cycle and get to 4. No, rates were already sub 5. They were already at 4. And they've taken another leg down to 3.5. And the strength of the demand is what you need to try to internalize here. The Bitcoin Layer is proud to be sponsored by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with collaborative multi-sig vaults where you hold two of three keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. This is a really important feature. You can purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage with Unchained's trading desk and completely eliminate your exchange risks. Unchained also offers the best IRA product in the industry. You can convert easily your 401k or IRA into Bitcoin while keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Go talk to them today, unchained.com/TBL, and make sure you use code TBL for $99 off when you create an account. Imagine losing your Bitcoin fortune to a house fire or to accidental damage. A complete nightmare, right? It's estimated that over 30% of Bitcoin are lost forever, and poor seed phrase security is a big reason why. That is why we use Stampseed, a really cool DIY kit that allows you to stamp your seed into these titanium plates. So let me show you how it works. They send you a titanium plate. Part of the kit comes with this really easy to use tracker. You slide your seed phrase into the tracker. Now you take the letters that they send you, you take a letter out, and you place it into your device, and then you take this incredibly heavy duty titanium hammer, and you hammer your letters into this titanium plate. Your full seed phrase will be stamped into this titanium plate that is fireproof, accident proof, damage proof. These tools have been specifically designed by people working in titanium stamping for over 14 years. So go check them out today, stampseed.com, and make sure you use code TBL for 15% off of your order. This is what I'm doing right now, is internalizing the demand and trying to understand why. Why are rates falling so fast? Why is this move reflective of the general feeling from investors that growth is slowing? Is there something else going on besides just inflation falling and unemployment modestly rising? Unemployment rate at 4.2%. Okay, it's in a historical context. It's up quite a bit from the lows of the cycle. But really, is it that bad? Consumption is still positive. GDP is still positive. So what is the fear? What is the source of the demand? And now I have a feeling that the source of the demand is a bet from investors that rates are going to get cut all the way back down to 1%. And that idea that rates are going to get cut all the way down to 1%. And mind you, I think they're going to get cut by 3 to 3.5%. But we're talking about the potential of them getting cut 4, 4.5, or even 5%. Now, I think they're coming down at least 3%, but are they coming down 5%? The answer to that question, which nobody can know, of course, the answer to that question has become maybe for a lot of investors. And the maybe is causing them to buy treasuries with a strength that you at home are underappreciating. And I know you're underappreciating it because I read what's going on social media. And I think that there's this feeling that inflation is too sticky for rates to get cut 4% from here. It is a mistake to ignore the possibility. Right now, the rate cuts are happening at 25 basis points at a time, possibly starting next week. Maybe the Fed will try to move the needle and get Nick Timiraos of the Wall Street Journal to release another article over the weekend that starts to guide rates to a 50 basis point cut on September 18th. Possibly, again, that doesn't really matter. The baby cuts are going to turn into much larger cuts as we go forward. And thinking that we are just going to survive with rates getting cut from 5.5% to 4%, I think is missing the greater underlying fear of the lagged effect. Two things: the lagged effects of monetary policy, but also the end of the business cycle. because the business cycle that froze entirely in 2020 and then was kickstarted by $3 trillion of fiscal stimulus and $10 trillion in cumulative deficits over the past 5 years, that is fading. The inflation wave is fading. We'll talk about the CPI reading shortly. That is fading too. So if inflation is fading, the growth stimulus, the fiscal stimulus is fading, then the whole economy slowing down is something that happens over time. It's not something that's random or sudden. It's a five-year wave that's ending and has to come to a halt and actually has to get into contraction so that the next stimulative wave can be warranted. And that's the environment that we live in. That's actually why you are Bitcoiners, because you don't recognize the financial system for being a free market anymore. Because anytime a contraction happens, a stimulus also happens on the back of it. And so if contractions are not allowed to happen, we have to own something that protects us against infinite money and infinite credit creation. And Bitcoin has assisted us in that. Let's talk about the yield curve now. I have twos, tens on the screen. The last few years, the red arrow is showing you the inversion. That's the original inversion. So let's translate that into a sentence. The yield curve getting inverted is the 10-year yield falling below the 2-year yield, and as the 2-year yield is potentially rising, which it was during this time. And that's the market saying, yes, you're hiking rates, but we think future growth is going to slow. So you're hiking too fast. Okay, so number one is you're hiking too fast when it inverts. Number two, an inversion of 100 basis points says, hey, it's time to cut. You're too restrictive. That's what happened in 2023. It's time to cut. But that finally just got them to pause because they were actually still hiking. So time to pause, they paused. Now the green arrow is the steepening. That's the cuts, right? So when the 2-year yield comes down below the 10-year yield, it comes down because the Fed is actually cutting rates. The Fed hasn't cut rates yet, but we know they're cutting. We know they're going to cut quite a bit, at least 1% by the end of the year. So as the yield curve steepens, it happens only because of cuts. But why is the yield curve still 0.04%? It's basically flat. It hasn't steepened out. It's uninverted. But it's not steep, it's still flat. So what is the reason that it's flat? The reason that it's flat is because of baby cuts. It's not enough to steepen the curve to just get baby cuts. The cuts have to come at a much more rapid pace, rápidamente. We talked about this last month. Unless you get the rapid cuts, you cannot get the steepening of the yield curve because the 10-year yield will not price in enough growth. The growth expectation is muted. That's why 10-year yields aren't steepening out. The Fed funds rate has to get cut so much more. And then twos might respond to that and actually bring 2-year yields down below the future growth expectation. But until you see an actual steep curve, the Fed is still too restrictive. And remember, this is a market thing. This isn't the policy rate. This is the market. So even though I showed you 175 basis points below Fed funds is where twos are, 175 basis points below is still not enough to steepen the curve. That should also tell you that with the market pricing in about 1% of cuts here over the next 3 meetings, September, November, and December, it's not enough. So don't be surprised when the Fed changes their tune and says, you know what, we actually have to get out of restrictive territory and we have a long way to go to do that. So all of that will come. You guys know that we are a little bit ahead of the curve on what the Fed will do. We have experience looking at these cycles, and it is our opinion that the Fed funds rate, which is today at 5.5%, will have a two handle on it at some point, let's just say in the next year to 2 years. It's very difficult for me to imagine that rates don't have to come all the way back down to this neutral area of 2 to 3%. So you should be expecting that. How risk reacts will really dictate everything. So unless the stock market crashes, you won't really see that full capitulation. I've thought that for several years. That's why the Fed has gone higher for longer. No stock market crash. Baby cuts, no stock market crash. So the Fed will react. Remember, the Fed doesn't care about you. The Fed is a central bank, so it cares about banks. It's a bank for banks. So the banks, when the banks suffer, the Fed will stimulate. The Fed pretends to care about the unemployment rate, but it doesn't. It doesn't. It cares about banks. It cares about the financial system. It cares about financial crises. It cares about stocks. So watch the stock market, and that will give you a hint of what the Fed is going to do. And by the way, watching the stock market over the last couple years get to all-time highs was enough to tell you that they don't need to cut. We see cracks in the economy that tells us they should be cutting, but that's because we're thinking about you. We're thinking about the economy. The Fed isn't thinking about that. They are waiting for Jamie Dimon's phone call. Here's the whole term structure of the yield curve. You can see now that the yield curve has really uninverted, where the two-year yield is quite below where the 30-year yield is. It's at the same level of where the 10-year yield is. The 3 to 5 part of the curve is still inverted. But as twos come back down all the way, the whole curve will finally have a positive slope. And remember, that will only come when the expectations of future growth are lifted. And that can only lift if the Fed gets out of this restrictive territory. In the next chart here, we have Treasury bills. These are 3-month bills. And think back to the twos Fed funds spread being at a negative 175 basis points and the two-year yield telling you where Fed funds are going. The 3-month yield is even closer to the Fed funds rate in terms of a maturity. Remember, Fed funds is an overnight rate. So the 3-month yield will lead the Fed, but it won't be able to get so far away from the Fed as if to lead the Fed. It's actually a math exercise when bill yields start going down because they look, remember, a 3-month bill issued today is going to mature in the second week of December. And so if that is the case, then you have the September 18th meeting and then you have the November Fed meeting in between now and then. And if you're going to get a 50 basis point cut next week, or a 25 basis point cut next week, and then another 25 or potentially 50 in November, the 3-month bill yield in 3 months from today will likely be 75 basis points lower than it is today. But because we understand that those cuts are approaching, we actually have to bid 3-month bills up, meaning the yield goes down. And you can see today that 3-month bill yields are at 5.06%. And I will bring up the live levels here because we are actually recording this before the market close here on Friday, September 13th. The 3-month bill yield is trading below 5% now. And so if Fed funds are at they're between 5.25 and 5.5, that's the range. So they're trading at 5.38%. But 3-month bill yields are 50 basis points lower, almost 50 basis points lower than where the Fed funds is rate already. It's telling you that in 3 months from today, it's going to be at least 50 basis points lower on the Fed funds, but maybe even more. So that's why we look at these 3-month bill yields as we get closer and closer to the meeting, because again, it is the demand that drives the yield lower. And the demand is the investors saying, hey, if I keep my money overnight at the Fed, remember the reverse repo facility is your parking spot for your capital in money market funds. If I keep that money there at 5.38, 5.38, 5.38, hey, next Thursday night, that rate could be 4.88. Think about that. And so are you going to risk, or are you going to buy the bill now that secures a 4.9 yield for 3 months? You're going to buy the bill. And that's what happens when the rate cuts come, is that the demand for treasuries and the bill and the yield that's above what it will be, it gets snapped up and it gets taken off of the market. Now, it's not available to you. 5%, think about it like this. Spot yields right now in 1 month bills are about 5.03, 2 month 5.04, and then it goes below 5%. That means that you cannot get, basically by the end of the day, you will not be able to buy a treasury bill on the planet with a 5% yield. But you can keep your money at the Fed at 5.38 for another 3 nights. Big whoop, because next week it might be 4.88%. So of course you would buy bills at 5%, 5.05. You would buy them at 4.9. You would buy them at 4.8. And guess what? You would buy them at 4.5, because by the end of the year, yields might be less than 4.5% on the overnight rate. So the one-year bill right now is 4%. That's 138 basis point less than the parking spot rate at the Fed, reverse repo. So think about the demand. Don't underestimate the demand that sends these yields lower. And if you are a regular reader, viewer, or listener, thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe for our free research publication. And TBL pros also have access to our weekly quantitative report, Mean, Median, Mode. If you guys are regulars of TBL, I hope you would understand by this point that yields falling at this pace should scare you for the economy, for a financial crisis perspective. Because when yields go down this much, it's the investor saying, we think that something disastrous is going to happen, to the point where the Fed has to come back in, the government has to come back in. So it really should give you that feeling when you see yields come down at this pace, which it's starting to and really has. If you're following the program, you know that we've been talking about this bull market in treasuries for several months now, and the acceleration is a red flag. It really is. And how quickly they got to 3.5% is in itself a red flag. So you guys often have heard the expression, buy the rumor, sell the fact, or buy the rumor, sell the news. The buying of treasuries might be the lead-in to the first cut, and then we might see a bounce in yields. But whatever happens over the next 1 month, 2 months, 3 months of consolidation in treasury yields, the larger picture is this move lower, and how low they could go and how quickly they can go. Really, you should look back at March of 2023, Silicon Valley, look how low they got and how quickly they got there, and the snapback with the response from the policy level. So think about that sort of event. It's impossible to predict, but that's the type of mentality you have to be in when you start to see these moves. And by the way, in 2019, several months before the pandemic, you started to see a collapse in yields. So there was something going on underneath the surface in the financial system that caused that. All right, let's shift gears a little bit away from just treasury yields to talk about global rates, FX, commodities. We'll look at yields versus the dollar, and this is something that we're watching pretty closely. The dollar is generally very strongly correlated with yields, in that higher yields, stronger dollar; lower yields, weaker dollar. With yields coming down, it should weaken the dollar. with yields going down in other parts of the world on global interest rate cuts, that should strengthen the dollar. So only cuts will prevent the dollar from strengthening. And I think that is something very important. This next chart shows you the global cut wave that's coming. Blue is Switzerland, more cuts there. Europe is going to be slashing rates next year. Europe has no business having a policy rate anywhere near 4%. It should be near 1%. So you should be looking for Europe to absolutely crater their policy rate here. I would think that buying boons has been an excellent trade here for the past few months. Canada in purple, you will see a rapid rate cutting cycle continue there. In the Bank of England, you will see more cuts going into the end of this year and next year. Australia will be cutting rates this year and going into next year. And of course, the Fed getting started in about 5 days' time. A strong dollar will weaken oil, but a weak dollar should strengthen oil. And we are not seeing that bounce from oil. We're seeing the opposite. And this is a growth slowing trade. As oil comes down like this, it is really demand falling off. I've never been a big believer in supply driving the oil price. It can very quickly move the price around in the short term, but it's global demand that's going to keep oil prices supported, and right now it's weakening. This next chart, gold. Gold is benefiting from the weak dollar right now. Gold getting to about $2,600 today on Friday. We think gold is heading to $3,000 and above. We are in a new regime that you just see a strength in gold and an unleashing of gold's price momentum over the past year that we really haven't seen for the years previous. So there's something going on under the surface in gold, and it's probably the anticipation of a global liquidity wave, which means balance sheet expansion, falling interest rates, increasing collateral values, and falling collateral volatility. We measure that by the MOVE index, and the MOVE index matters because collateral volatility falling, treasury volatility falling, increases the collateral multiplier effect for global balance sheets, and it just makes credit expansion more possible. This is an important one, guys. We try to revisit this one every couple months. 10-year yields versus the oil-gold ratio. We showed you gold going up. We showed you oil very weak. So the oil-gold ratio, muted, depressed, falling. It means slow global growth expectations. What does that do to treasury yields? It sends them lower as well. You remember a few months ago, a lot of the financial media was flagging this huge divergence between real yields and gold. Historically, and we've inverted real yields here, historically, lower real yields, more reason to buy gold as you aren't getting rewarded for holding treasuries. Then we saw an increase in real yields as rates increased quite a bit over the last few years, but you still saw gold supported even with higher real yields. And that didn't make sense to a lot of people, as they thought people were actually dumping treasuries now for gold. But if we zoom in, that doesn't necessarily look to be the case anymore. Another narrative destroyed. People are buying treasuries and buying gold at the same time now. So this is no longer a swap. Be careful of the narratives out there about the death of the dollar or the death of the treasury as the global reserve asset. They don't necessarily jive with the price action, which is increasing strength of demand for treasuries right now. A special shout out to all the people that were looking at weak treasury auctions over the last couple years, thinking that that had to do with an overall theme of reduced foreign demand for treasuries. Another narrative completely destroyed. Treasury auctions are not indicative of treasury market health. The price is. The volatility is. And right now, you have muted volatility for treasuries, even though you had some elevation over the last couple years. And that is because people understand the path of interest rates is lower. The unknown is going away. And if Treasury yields continue to fall, you will finally see more and more people capitulate and understand that the Treasury is not going anywhere as the global reserve asset. Shifting to money markets quickly, I want to show you SOFR volumes. SOFR volumes, think of this as the inventory of Treasuries at the primary dealer level. Now, we know Treasuries keep getting issued and issued and issued as the deficit continues to be elevated 5 to 6% of the total budget. Now, with the SOFR volumes above $2 trillion, it tells us that a lot of these Treasuries are being issued, go right to the primary dealer balance sheet, and get funded by the money market. So a big mismatch in maturities as the repo funding for these securities is done overnight where the securities are long-term. Remember that this is the likely cause of a lot of the disruption in regional banks in during 2023, a mismatch of repo liabilities and long-duration assets. Now, the reason that primary dealers are having more and more inventory, it's twofold. Number one, because more treasuries are being issued, so the whole system has to expand. But number two, investors are going long, and so they need financing, they need inventory to hold these securities without dedicating the capital. Where do they get the capital? The overnight repo market. And so that's why we watch SOFR volumes here. If SOFR volumes continue to be elevated, the Fed is going to look at its balance sheet and understand that reserves cannot stay scarce. They have to expand to make sure that these high SOFR volumes can find money when they need it. So the money markets cannot be exclusively relied upon to fund dealers every single night forever. Banks also have to be in that mix and be willing to lend their reserves into that mix of funding. So that's why we watch SOFR volumes. Nothing going on SOFR rates, which tells us that these volumes, even though they're elevated, the system is handling them just fine. Net issuance. This is the Treasury net issuance every month. You see the last print, $233 billion. Every month, you basically see a level between $200 and $300 billion now in terms of the deficit expanding. So this is the amount of Treasury debt that's added on a net basis to the market. Some of that, yes, it ends up in SOFR volumes. Some of it ends up in investors' hands. But the point here is that even though the debt is expanding and deficits are there every single month, essentially, as far as the eye can see, the price is going up. And let me bring it back to the beginning of the show today, in which I told you guys, don't underestimate the demand. Don't underestimate the demand when the supply is growing by this much, but the price keeps going up. It should tell you that there is a pool of capital so large, willing and able to buy treasuries that can overwhelm the price and send it higher. And where is that pool of capital and how much is that pool of capital? Well, I can tell you it's north of $100 trillion. And it's owning everything else that's liquid. Global stock markets are $100 trillion. Global bond markets are another $100 trillion. These are enormous numbers. And so a couple hundred billion in new treasury securities is nothing for the system that already has a couple hundred trillion in existing financial assets, but also the ability to create new money through its large collateral base, which is all these high quality fixed income instruments, including 25 to 30 trillion of marketable treasury securities. So think in trillions. That's what you have to do. That's what my students have to do at USC, the first lecture. They understand you now have to think in trillions. Compare 16 trillion in gold to 35 trillion in treasuries to 100 trillion in global stocks, to only 1 trillion in Bitcoin, to a couple hundred trillion in global real estate. Think in trillions. It's the only way to put Bitcoin in the financial system in context. Let's look at the economy real quickly. I want to show you the CPI heat map. CPI came out this week, 2.5% year over year change in CPI. A complete collapse and CPI completely gone on the headline level. Now, we know that internals are still very difficult, especially when it comes to housing, but the levels are nowhere near where they were 6 to 12 months ago. Energy prices are falling also, only 3% year-over-year increase. The inflation narrative is gone, and these data prints don't really matter anymore. Unless we get a collapse or an actual bounce, anything below 2% is going to cause red flags. Anything above 3.5% to 4% is going to get people worried. But within that, these numbers don't matter anymore. Inflation is back to where it should be. The Fed is moving on to other concerns. It's pretending that it's caring about the labor market. The market still believes that the Fed cares about the labor market. But you and I can have our little secret that all the Fed cares about is the financial system. As long as SOFR rates aren't spiking relative to the policy rate, stocks aren't crashing, interest rate spreads, credit spreads aren't spiking, the Fed will be just going about business as usual. What might the Fed do next week? It might announce a change to QT. We see that ample reserves are starting to border on a level that might be too low for the Fed's liking. As reserves stay flat, continue to come down at the margin, but GDP continues to go up, this ratio will go down. The Fed will probably announce something over the next few meetings, several meetings, that we are now going to start, or we're ending QT altogether. So we'll keep the balance sheet flat. And then eventually, we are going to start expanding the balance sheet to keep up with GDP and the way that GDP is growing. That will be liquidity additive and will, we believe, kick off another wave of liquidity at some point next year. We are going to now shift gears finally into Bitcoin. I want to bring up 12-month trailing returns. Bitcoin up about 125% over the last 12 months. Stocks up 25%. Gold now outperforming stocks on a trailing 12-month basis, up 33%. And would you look at that? Joining the club above the 100 line, U.S. Treasuries up 5% trailing 12 months. So Treasuries finally getting that bid. And what you can really see here is that liquidity is starting to hit all the asset classes now together. Yields falling, Treasury prices going up, gold going up, stocks prevented from going down right now with rate cuts on the horizon. It's a big TBD. And of course, Bitcoin in the middle of its consolidation range, a TBD, of course, for Bitcoin as well. And subject to spill on any great recession scare. The recession scare, though, will turn into a policy response if the scare turns into some sort of financial crisis. Before we get into Bitcoin, I want to show you that the stock market is entering a consolidation phase here. 5,700 is a key number to watch on the upside, and we will see how stocks deal with this baby cut narrative potentially going into accelerated cuts. So we're really watching stocks closely to see how they respond. Now, looking at Bitcoin, we see Bitcoin starting to outperform other cryptocurrencies such as Ethereum. Ethereum is completely breaking down versus Bitcoin. The chart looks very, very ugly. Instead of showing you that chart, I want to show you the chart of Bitcoin's market cap as a ratio to Ethereum's. It's now 4 times the size. That's up from just double a couple years ago. So Bitcoin really growing that gap between itself and the second place. Remember Michael Saylor, there is no second best. Bitcoin was about 10 times the size of Ethereum back in 2019. So if Ethereum doesn't change market cap right around $2 to $250 billion right now, that could put Bitcoin at $2 to $2.5 trillion, an easy double from here without anything happening to Ethereum. So we'll keep an eye on this ratio. We think it is relevant because Bitcoin and the understanding of Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency versus other pretender cryptocurrencies or copycats is relevant to the overall global adoption of Bitcoin. One quick chart I want to show you, Bitcoin in JPY, down quite a bit from 11 million yen earlier this year, but bounced really nicely off of this 7.7 million yen area, which does coincide with a big breakout at the beginning of the year and the previous all-time high in 2021. So a technical level to watch and something that we believe is pretty relevant, especially as JPY strengthens on a yen carry trade unwind. That is happening with Japan interest rates going up, attracting capital into the yen, and strengthening the yen versus the dollar. Last chart for you guys, Bitcoin. We go to weekly candles here, showing you the consolidation range. A nice bounce today, back up above 58K. We keep chopping up and down around 58K. It's something that happened back in 2021. We see it again here in 2024. It just seems to be a magnet for the Bitcoin price. And guess what? Right in the middle of our consolidation range that we've been in since March. So when will Bitcoin escape from this range? It's really anybody's call here. But what we have to do is watch the range, respect the range, and also not overreact to any price action within the range, up or down, because it's just trading that consolidation as traders are the only ones that are really moving it, because the conviction is very low on the big long or the big short side. Thanks for sticking with us today. Please make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and if you guys are audio people, rate and review on your audio platform. It's a huge help to us. Catch us at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe for our free research publication, and we'll catch you guys next time.